Welcome to Beyond the Divide, the podcast where we cut through the noise to uncover the truth that no matter our differences, race, politics, the places we live, we're all just people. We're united in the pursuit of a better tomorrow. Every episode, we're going to confront the narratives that fracture us from media spin to political games, and we're going to rediscover the common ground that binds us. Join us as we challenge the divide, celebrate our shared humanity, and build a future for ourselves, our families, and our nation. Charlie Kirk was a 31-year-old husband and father of two young children. At the age of 18, he founded the Turning Point organization, and he dedicated the next 13 years of his life traveling to college campuses, hosting debates, welcoming both sides of the political spectrum to express their ideas and beliefs. He believed in the Constitution and in the principle of free speech that was guaranteed us by the First Amendment. I didn't know much about Charlie. Maybe you didn't either. I saw the occasional debate video pop up on Facebook. It was clear that Charlie was a gifted debater and he enjoyed the discussion and he knew his stuff. But he was also just a regular guy, just like you and me. I'm sure he had hopes for the future of his children. He probably had vacation plans and anticipation for upcoming holidays. Leaders from both sides of the political aisle were quick to comment on the shooting. Some focused on Charlie, his wife, and his children. They uttered prayers for his recovery. Others were quick to judge him and his political beliefs, insinuating that this was the reason he was murdered. In a message addressed to the nation last night, President Trump admonished us all that we must confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree. Many, many elites and politicians disagreed with Charlie. He stood up during a time of uncertainty in our country, and he spoke his message directly to our youth. The message of unity and inclusion resonated with them, and his following grew immensely. College students across the nation came to hear him speak. Some came to debate with him. Some came to criticize his message, but they all came and he accepted every one of them. He was a leader in a time when leaders were hard to find. He challenged his listeners to go beyond the surface and seek out the truth. He spoke his truth, and he never turned away from someone who saw a different truth than he did. It is not enough for us to agree that these things shouldn't happen. We must fight for a better tomorrow. Charlie was murdered, plain and simple. His body now belongs to the grave. His spirit belongs to the Creator. But the light that he was and the torch that he carried is still very much alive. And now it's our time to pick up that torch and continue on. We must keep his message alive and we must make it our message. The youth of this nation are our future. And Charlie understood that and he made it his life's mission to connect to them in a way that not very many people can. We all moan and groan and complain about how kids just don't get it. They're lazy. They aren't interested in anything. They only want to lay around and watch Facebook videos and play video games. But the truth of it is that they're being sold the same lies that all of us are. But instead of being able to look past those lies and to see and know the truth, those lies are finding a handhold and they're taking root. Perhaps if more of us could be like Charlie and connect with these people, the message taking root could be different. Gone are the days when families would gather around the dinner table and talk about their day, their struggles, their triumphs, their dreams, and their goals. Families have fractured in a way that's really hard to define. Social media shows us pictures of glowing parents and children and perfect houses and perfect yards and amazing vacations, and everybody's happy and smiling. But behind all of that, there's an actual truth. We're all just regular people. Our kids are busy with sports and school and social media and Facebook reels, and they don't pay attention to their parents. And most of the time, we lack the attention for them. It's hard to be a parent. Like, really, really hard. To the young people of today, I would tell you that being a parent is the most rewarding and prestigious thing you could ever do with your life. But that doesn't make it easy. And kids are so crazy different. Like, you'll have one that is totally into cars. He's got pictures of trucks all over his room and he's changing the oil at like 10 years old. And then the next one comes along and they don't even want to get their license, which that in itself is just crazy. It is hard to divide yourself as a parent into so many pieces so that each one can have their own. So each child gets their own piece of mom and dad. And I'm constantly reminded of that scene in the cartoon adaptation of Horton Hears a Who. And you've got the mayor of the town, and he's got like 1,000 kids. And it like stretches, all these kids like stretch it out in this line that goes like around his entire house. And he has a timer. And each kid gets like 5 seconds and then their time is up. We have stretched ourselves so thin trying to keep up with the social media illusion that we're losing ourselves and we're losing our kids. Society's youth are falling into a deep, dark hole. And they're being told that they can't escape and that no one cares and that they're alone. The CDC reports that rates of depression have risen 60% over the last decade. 60%. And many of us parents have no clue what to even do with that. I tell my husband all the time, like, I have no idea what to do with my girls and their emotional roller coasters. They cry a lot. And I didn't cry when I was their age. So I have absolutely no idea how to handle this and what to do. And most parents don't. And I am a very all-natural, holistic type of person. So I am not a turn to big pharma medicine type. But medicated or not, that's still just a band-aid. We have to get back to the root cause. And a lot of that is going to begin in the home. Look, listen, respond. Think of those little monkeys, the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil little guys. They're in your emoji list on your phone. And if you just turn that around and say, see our youth, hear our youth, and speak to our youth. Don't be afraid to strike up a conversation and to truly listen to them. We've all seen the memes and the reels on social that say things like, if you pay attention when your 5-year-old comes to you about the bump on his knee for like the 50th time, then they will learn that they can come to you for anything. And guess what? That's a real thing. When our kids come to us, we have to stop what we're doing, which is sometimes really hard to do. And kids have a tendency to come to you in the most inopportune moments to share with you the most crazy information that doesn't matter, but it matters to them. We have to stop what we're doing. We have to look them in the eye and we have to listen to them and not just listen to be listening, but to truly hear what they're saying. And when they're done saying what they're saying, we have to respond so that they know and they feel that we truly care and that we're truly absorbing what they're telling us. And I'm going to be the first to tell you that I am horrible at this. But if I can make a commitment to work on it, then I promise that you can too. Look, listen, and respond. Yesterday, there was a shooting at Evergreen High School in Colorado. And it hasn't been talked about very much. But there were 3 kids that were injured. One is still in critical condition. And after that, the shooter took his own life. The kids of this generation, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they have this tendency to jump to the most extreme end of the spectrum and they settle on the worst possible scenario as to how things are going to play out. And some of them are turning to some seriously drastic conclusions. Society is really quick to blame the justice system, the school system, religion, the other side of the political aisle. But what if for just a moment we quit playing the narcissistic blame game and we look within ourselves, our homes, and our communities? How much could be different in the lives of these kids if someone around them were to truly look, listen, and respond? The adage that it takes a village couldn't be more true than it is today. Kids hide things from their parents, and it really sucks when you're the parent. It's like some unspoken childhood rite of passage. But no matter who they are, they can't hide from everyone. And if we are paying attention, then we can catch the little tiny slips that happen and we can help them before the little problem becomes a life-altering problem. Remember when you were a teenager and every single little thing felt like it was the end of the world? It's the same now. And most of us figured out that the sun was still going to rise the next day. And given time, everything would work out the way it was supposed to. But for some of us, that didn't happen. Because the problem just felt too big and too heavy. What if there was just one person that saw one of the little slips and could have prevented tragedy. Life is hard. And all of us are just trying to keep it together. Most parents in today's world, just to survive, both of them have to work. Divorce rates remain at 50% or higher, and broken families are becoming more and more common. But no matter what the circumstance is in your home, make that commitment to take a little bit of time every day to just pay attention. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe, there's always a common thread. We must rise up together. We must make a decision here and now to save our kids, to save each other, to save our nation. We have to stop watching from the sidelines. Charlie Kirk sure didn't watch from the sidelines. He was seeking a better tomorrow, and so should we. Thanks for joining us behind the divide, where we uncover the truth that no matter our differences, we're all just people and we're in this together.